Welcome to Parent Entrepreneur Power, conversation number 9.
Welcome to Parent Entrepreneur Power, the podcast that's all about parents building businesses and giving them more time and money for their family rather than the other way around. Here's your host, she used to wrangle horses, now she just wrangles kids and dogs, Mary Catherine Johnson.
Hi there. Welcome to another jam-packed conversation of Parent Entrepreneur Power. This time I'm chatting with Jason Leek of 100 Days of Real Food and ProBlog School, and he takes us through a pretty wonderful journey that he and his wife Lisa Leek have been on for the past year and a half to 2 years, and I really hope you enjoy it because he gives you some very specific tools and tricks that he has used and that he has learned throughout the process. His number one goal was to quit his job as an engineer, and he has certainly been able to do that. So sit back and enjoy, and are you ready to push the power button on the parent entrepreneur journey that you can create? Here we go. All right, welcome to the conversation, Jason Leek of 100 Days of Real Food and ProBlog School. Nice to chat with you today, Jason. How are you?
Thanks, Mary. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Fantastic. We're really honored to hear your story because I know you and your wife, Lisa, are doing some pretty incredible things, and I can't wait to get into that. But start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do and how you came onto this parent entrepreneur journey, your kids, how old they are, all that good stuff.
Sure. So I'm just a regular guy. I'm a father to two beautiful daughters, age 6 and 9. I'm totally an accidental entrepreneur. Luckily, my wife presented the opportunity to me. Although that desire had been in the background since really my first job, since I set foot in a cubicle, really. So background's mechanical engineering. I got into technical sales. Jumped around in my career trying to find something that was fulfilling. Mm-hmm. But the way the 100 Days of Real Food blog came about actually was totally by accident as well. It was something my wife started just as a personal hobby, really, to inform her friends and family about our journey with cutting out processed food. So, but it really got a fast following, and it got to the point where she was so busy with it, she needed help. So I was helping. I've been an editor since day one, but I was helping on nights and weekends and so forth. And her traffic got to the point, and she just had started to monetize it a little bit. So we started to need to hire help, and we had to cover those costs.
Yeah.
And it really dawned on me that, hey, we could actually make some money on this. Like, there might be a way to do what we love, help people, and also replace the day job.
Yeah, wow. What a tough problem to have, huh?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, people look at you like you're crazy when you talk about, oh, I want to leave my corporate job with 401k benefits and health benefits and just go out into the unknown. I mean, even friends of ours that were actually have followed in our footsteps and been successful bloggers, quitting their corporate jobs, they were like, "You really want to quit?" You know, you talk to parents, and they're like, "Well, that's not a secure way to move forward."
Right.
But it's the best decision we could have ever made, for sure.
Yeah, because really, what security is there in any corporate job or any job helping someone else build their dreams? Right.
Well, that's right. That's right. And I mean, times are changing very quickly. And what our business is online. So we've grown a team, and I help Lisa full time now. I've also recently started my own blog called Pro Blog School, which is designed to help people grow their blog into a business. And it shows how we've done that behind the scenes. But since we're online, what I've realized is the feedback loop is so fast. I mean, entrepreneurship is all about failing, you know, the right way. In other words, learning from that and getting to those successes. It's not all, you know, unicorns and rainbows.
Right.
But you learn through the process. But that feedback loop is so accelerated when you're working for yourself, and then also B, when you're online. So you get to grow so much faster.
Yeah. And isn't it amazing how once you realize the potential that you have with any kind of business that you take on yourself, you then look at that and go, well, if I can do this, then what else can I do? And where else can I go? It's that first step that is so hard for us. But once we take it, now you're doing pro blog school. And I know just from speaking with you for a few minutes, who knows what the next thing will be, but I'm sure there will be something else, because once you just get bitten by this entrepreneurial bug, you just can't help yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, the success breeds success. I mean, you have so much more confidence. You recognize opportunities. You learn when to say no. And one of the things that's really blown me away has been the power of networking. There's this, at least in the online world, there's this mindset of abundance, people helping people.
Right.
I've connected with people all over the country, and I won't go into too many details at the moment, but it really has been extremely helpful.
Yes. I believe in that wholeheartedly. I started my first business back in 2003. And it was an online business as well. And the people that I met through that were just so incredible and so helpful that I couldn't help but continue that whole idea and that whole mindset and help the people coming up after me. And I had people in my same niche trying to pick my brain as to how I was successful so that they could do it too. And we're talking direct competitors. So
yeah.
That was a little tough. You know, that one was, all right, I'm not giving you all my secrets, but I'll definitely, point you in some directions that might help you out, because to me, obviously competition only makes me stronger. So, I'm still here and many of them are not. So,
It's funny. So you talk about direct competitors. So there's another food blog, husband and wife team, and the husband actually has an online course, how to become a food blogger.
Uh-huh.
And we're actually in a mastermind group together. So we're exchanging, intentionally, because
right.
You and I both have the mindset of, hey, let's just help each other out. It's not a zero sum game.
Right. And not only that, I'm sure you have you each have your own niches. So I know you and Lisa are really dealing with the real food. And the reason that I was drawn to Lisa's blog and now Pro Blog School as well is because of your authentic message. I mean, you guys are real people. You're not just sitting there trying to sell me things. You are real people living this life, talking about it from your personal experience, and then recommending other products based on what you use in your real life. That's the way to do it to me. I trust your ideas. I trust your suggestions much more than just some website I might stumble upon that's trying to sell me something, but not really giving me anything of substance behind it.
Right, right. And we're very, very careful. We vet the sponsors that we have to make sure they're in good alignment with our audience and that they are products and services that, pass our test. And a lot of people appreciate being introduced to them. For example, we work with a variety of meal planning services, and people are busy, and that helps them achieve their goal of improving their family's diet and health. So totally. And then one point I want to make, I think this has a lot to do with Lisa's success, is that she remembers to speak to her old self. So much of these things that we talk about are like new normals for us,
right?
But we have to remember back when the curtain was just being lifted and we realized we don't know where our food is coming from, we can't trust all this marketing,
Yes.
And she keeps that top of mind when she's writing to people. So she's not condescending. She's not preaching to people. She's saying, make some small improvements. And that's a gain. That's a good thing. And here's how. And so I'm trying to remember that voice of the customer with Pro Blog School as well, because it's just been amazing the amount of information and experience I've gathered in just a few short years in the online world. And so I'm all excited to talk about the things that challenge me, but that only applies to, you know, 0.5% of the people out there, or even less.
Right, right. So, who are in your shoes, exactly.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember, okay, the majority of people are just being introduced to these concepts. So I'm trying to write and really, and then you help more people that way. And exactly. You bring those people up to that intermediate level where then you can help them with the more advanced things as well.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about a course for the other people in the mastermind group that also have food blog, and you can do the same thing and offer the different levels of expertise to your audience based on where they are through your posts, through a course, through coaching, all kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I asked Pat Flynn this question on a Google Hangout. He's like my online idol. He's actually interviewing us pretty soon. I'm super excited about it.
Wow. Yay.
Yeah. Because he was the one that inspired me to quit my job. You know, once I saw like, oh, this is what's possible, you know?
Yes.
But so I had asked him, I said, what I'm dealing with is what to give away for free versus what to put in a future course. Because I do want to put a course together, but it's a ton of work.
Right.
And he's like, well, just give it all away and then just give more away in the course.
Right.
So that's I think that's good advice. And that's what I find myself wanting to do, is just to genuinely help people. So I've got all sorts of plans. But, you know, 100 Days of Real Food is my day job. And so I'm working feverishly to automate and delegate as much as possible to free up time to work more on Pro Blog School.
Yeah, that's the hardest part, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, I'm on my third assistant, honestly. I'm so excited. Corey, I love you.
About this one. Definitely. Wow. That's fantastic. Yes, I know Pat Flynn is definitely a mentor to most of us who are online. I was fortunate enough to interview him as the first interview that I did for this podcast. And It was wonderful just to see that it's all possible, to really see that if you have an idea and you have the knowledge and experience, you can make a business out of it by first giving away that knowledge and experience and having a community created for people to come to and ask you questions and read your blog posts and your stories. And then the people who want to go further with that will thank you for it by then subscribing to whatever it is you want to have as a way to make money.
Kudos. And what I'm seeing that it's coming clear, and I see this message from different places. And again, as you become an entrepreneur, you start to recognize these things and put everything together. And it's that if you can affect someone in a positive way, make them have a change in their own life, then they get that information from you, they'll attribute that to you, and they'll trust you, and you know they'll try to prop you up as
exactly.
a result, or help you out, or listen to what you have to say. You know,
yeah. The majority of the people in the world are kind and considerate and giving. Tell me a little bit more about the structure of your business and family. Now you have two girls, right?
That's correct.
So how do you, if this is your day job, and obviously it's Lisa's day job too, how do you handle structuring working the business with also being a parent?
We've got it down pretty well. I mean, we send these kids to school. We share an office. We get right to work, and we pretty much don't bother each other. I mean, we work pretty feverishly when the children are at school because we can. Mm-hmm. We take a break when they get home, give them some attention, you know, get them a snack, get them set on doing their homework or whatever. And I think that's critical. They come home, they're so excited. They're yearning for your attention.
Yes.
So you got to give that to them just 100%, and focus on them, let them feel loved and important and, you know, calm them down. And then we get back to work. But you know, there are more interruptions in the afternoon. But that's okay. Then at 5:30 to 8:30 is strictly family time. So obviously we cook a lot and clean a lot with the whole real food lifestyle.
Right.
And then we typically get back to work around 8:30 to it depends. We're trying to be disciplined and stop work at 9:30 or 10 to have some downtime before we go to sleep, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important because otherwise it's hard to sleep and then you get in this bad cycle.
Yes.
And then on the weekends, we try to take the weekends off, especially Lisa, and be active with our children, do activities with them. Of course, we have house chores and whatnot, but try to involve them. Just be with them, you know?
Yes, that's exactly. And what an awesome opportunity. Because you're right, when they come home from school, you are kind of their information dump. After whatever they had happened to them during the day at school. Girls, I think, a little bit more so than boys do this, but they just want to dump it on you and let you know and tell you all the exciting things or terrible things or scary things or whatever it might have been. And if you're not there at that moment, when, you know, the parents who are working, when they get home at, let's say, 5, 6, 7 o'clock, you know, the kids are already past it and they've already adapted into the new environment of home or wherever they were. And you're not going to probably get all of that. So to be able to have that opportunity to touch base with them, I bet you've been able to uncover some specific things that the kids may have needed to work on or as a learning experience by being there and being present with them when they get home from school.
Yeah. And so one of our sponsors actually on the blog is Positive Parenting Solutions, Amy McCready out of North Carolina as well. And in evaluating her course to talk about on 100 Days of Real Food, I remember one of the lessons, and that was give your kids 20 minutes a day of just undivided attention. So, I mean, it goes beyond just communicating with them and understanding what they want. Right. It's really like they need like that as a minimum each day and to really feel loved. And if they don't get that, they try to get it through other behaviors that we would view typically as negative. Right. So, I really took that advice to heart and have experimented with it. And I can say it's true.
Definitely. So that brings me into some of the skills, because I really do believe that so many of the skills that we have as parents, as successful parents, and also the skills we have as successful entrepreneurs really cross over. They really are the same. What skills do you think you use the most and to the greatest effect as both a parent and an entrepreneur?
Well, as an entrepreneur, or at least in my job, I'm essentially the operations manager. So I do everything possible that I can to let Lisa focus on generating content and interacting with her users. So I process an amazing amount of information each day, at least it's daunting to me. So you have to learn how to prioritize and also how to listen and how to understand what's important and what's not. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And this is not really a skill per se, but I just want to say it. I think one of the most important things you can do as a parent is just lead by example, by being happy and by having a good relationship with your spouse or anyone else in your home.
Right.
Because that just sets the tone, sets the environment. Actions speak louder than words. And a lot of people have difficulty being happy, well, for a lot of reasons, but one big one can be if they're unhappy with work, that comes over into the home life.
Yes.
And as an entrepreneur, it's like every day is a great day. You know? I mean, we have the bad days, but even then it's like, pretty amazing.
Yeah, be here. So tell me a little bit more about that. Why is every day a great day for you as an entrepreneur?
Well, it's just fun because I feel like what the work I'm doing is all for us. You know, it's not for someone else. So the mistakes I make, I learn from them. And again, just that feedback cycle, that's just exciting. There's so much opportunity. The personal growth is so accelerated.
Yes, it is. And really, when you see the difference going from working in an office for someone else, commuting to work, clocking in, dealing with whomever might be around you, and then you go home and you're pretty much focused with just you and your wife focusing on your business, the difference is staggering, really. The amount of control you feel you have over your own destiny, over your own life. And what you said, I think, is vital. How you feel and being happy with the people that are around you. And that really brings me to the fact that we choose who we bring around us. And some of us, unfortunately, have people in our own families or close friends who might really be negative about the things that we're wanting to do. And whether whatever reasons they might be that way, whether they're jealous, whether they are afraid to do it themselves, whatever that may be, they bring that negativity into it. And to really be able to make the choice that, you know what, I can't let that in because it will affect my whole family and my whole life and all the choices that I make. Have you had to deal with anything like that, or has it been pretty much smooth sailing for you?
Well, I haven't had to deal with anything that was really overly negative. We did have some skepticism, and like Lisa's father, for example, was very conservative financially. And it's not that we needed his permission to do anything. It's not like anybody would shun us right. or whatever. So I don't.
No, mean no.
I'm not trying to paint him in a bad light, but he's just concerned, you know. And so what we did, and this was as much for ourselves as much for him, was when I started helping Lisa full-time and we had that vision that, hey, maybe I could quit my job. I'm sorry, when I started helping her part-time and had the vision that I could start eventually working full-time, I started putting my corporate check in the bank.
Right.
And so we proved to ourselves for 6 months that we could just live off of the blog
right.
income. And so that made it much easier to explain to others. It's like, what can you say?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like we're already doing it, you know, and we're just scratching the surface.
Exactly.
And with friends, you know, you get it's not a negative from any other people. I mean, luckily, we haven't had friends that have expressed jealousy or whatever. But you see other people that might not be that happy with their situation or whatever. And it's like, I just feel like I have 30 new amazing things
exactly.
to talk about,
you yes. know?
And I tend to in conversations have to like just tell myself to stop talking and just listen. I mean, I'm curious what other people have to say, of course, and I want to know about them, but I ask questions. It's like, hey, what's
right.
new, you know? And it's like, oh, same
right.
old, same old.
And you're like, well, let me tell you, wait yeah. a minute, wow, look at this, you got to do this.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I tell people they got to be careful if they ask me about work.
Yeah. Do you really want to know? Be prepared. Yeah. How much
yeah.
coffee do you have?
Well, and now a lot of our, you know, close friends, of course, they kind of get
yeah.
it. But at first, the people are just so perplexed.
Right.
Like, you know, how can you even make money doing that? And so you go through those same conversations over
yeah,
and over.
It is. And it's tough. But I think this whole community and this whole new model of work is pretty set in stone. Well, you know, as set as fluid entrepreneurship and internet entrepreneurship can be, but I think it's here to stay. But you still, with the internet, have so many possibilities that you can create whatever you want to create. So it's exciting. I can't wait to see my sons and what they come up with. It's going to be amazing.
Well, yeah, and it's great to let them get started early. I mean, something that I suffered from, I'm 37, and I think it's partially a generational thing, is a sense of entitlement. And I was a good student. I got the engineering degree, and then I went out and I expected, okay, you know, here's my great job, pay me all this money. And then I realized, oh, I don't enjoy this at all.
Right.
You know, I think if students start early, little side jobs, playing around, then they start to realize early on that, you know, this is not all easy. You have to work. But just getting, again, that feedback loop, if you have those small successes, that's encouraging. That makes you want to continue and get the larger successes.
Definitely. And that kind of brings me back to, we talked a little bit about how you guys balance your time, and how
mm-hmm.
you share your time with both your business and the family. How do you compartmentalize that, both your time and your money? How does money play into it now? You touched on that a little bit with being able to convince family that this can be done
mm-hmm.
and convince yourself. I mean, you needed a certain amount of convincing as well that this was real and it wasn't just Monopoly money, but it was real going into the bank. How do you compartmentalize that? How do you balance it?
Okay, well, I will say part of the convincing myself it was real, it was also convincing Lisa that it was real, because you really need to be in sync,
right.
you know, with your spouse on this. And so once she saw the light, you know, the possibilities, not that anything's guaranteed, it was really helpful to be on the same page through the journey. But getting back to the time that, I told you what we do, but Lisa's much better and she's more disciplined than I am in general. So I'll tend to want to just work late because I'm very task oriented. I want to get it done, you know. But what happens is I've noticed that my work quality degrades late at night. Stuff that I might spend 2 hours on banging my head against the wall trying to figure out, I sleep on it, I wake up, I'm taking a shower, and
it's there.
Oh, duh,
yeah.
There it is. So I'm starting to see that pattern over and over, so I'm listening to her when she's like, son, go to bed, come on. Getting into your routine and having more of a time-based schedule and just realizing there's this infinite amount of work and things that could be done. So at some point you have to just realize, hey, there's always tomorrow. And I try to tell myself that, as excited as I am to get something done or I'm really into it, just, hey, let it go. You can work on it tomorrow. And that's really a good way to find balance. But in terms of the money, I mean, honestly, it's been really, really easy to, there's not really much of an issue with the balance because our, we do have expenses, definitely, but we've been in the black pretty much since day one. So it's not like we had to take out a large loan to buy inventory. Right. We've grown the business very organically. So as income has grown, then we have, that we've hired more people. You know, we have 8 part-time people. We pay comment moderators because there's absolutely no way that we can answer all the questions. And we could just let them go unanswered, but we'd rather pay someone because a lot of the questions people are just asking for information that, you know, it's questions that have been asked hundreds of times before. There's a blog post that they can, just a little helping hand. You can say, hey, check this list out. And then so they appreciate that personal interaction and help. And then the money very quickly grew past anything we could have imagined. So we took our kids to Europe last summer for a month and, you know, worked. We did a lot of work ahead of time, but we probably worked a third of the time while we were there. IRS is listening. I meant 50% of the time we were working. But no, it's just funny. I mean, some of our blogger friends, I'm like, they're not as up on the business and accounting end of things. You know, a lot of bloggers are just the creative types. Yes. They want to just write, but there's a business into it as well. The point is that we've been able to have been able to save as much money as we need to for college education, for retirement, to take the kids traveling to Europe. In fact, we're going on a cross-country RV trip this summer out west.
Hey, come on out to my area. We're in California, Northern California. You have to go to Yosemite. I'm sorry, but you have to.
Oh, we are. Absolutely.
It is one of the most beautiful places. It's just incredible. So yay, that sounds fun. Tell me now, when you talked about you grew organically, let's take it back a couple of steps. And if you could, just in it like a bullet point view, take us through from day one when she just kind of started chronicling this whole thing to when all of a sudden she realized that there might be a way to make a living to this, to when you all of a sudden then realized, wow, you're right, there might be a way to make a living. And then you quit your job and now you've been able to really enjoy this amazing lifestyle. If you could give us just bullet points and timeline of how long that took, because people look at this and they might see you and think, oh my gosh, this is like an overnight success and they're everywhere. And now I'm all of a sudden seeing this and it must've just happened overnight. I can't do that because I don't have anything that can happen to me overnight when I know it didn't happen overnight. So take me through that.
It's so funny you asked that because I'm literally staring at a spreadsheet. I am working on creating a timeline as a visual for, we're going to be speaking at a blogging conference. Mm-hmm. And so I've got tracked page views, Facebook fans, email subscribers, income versus for each income stream all over time. So, and then I'm going to add events in there, like when we hired people, when I came on board, all that. So it's visual. But yeah, she started in May of 2010. And let's see, a year later, she had 177,000 page views a month. For those that aren't in the blogging world, that's just how many times your page is loaded, how many. And so that's a standard indicator that we base a lot of other metrics on. in August of 2011, we landed on the Yahoo front page between Justin Bieber and President Obama. Yes. So that day, the server crashed.
Yes.
And,
because so many people were coming and visiting you and trying to find out who these people are.
Exactly. So August, we had 1.1 million page views. But then, so after that, it was around 500,000 through December of 2011. And that's about when I started helping Lisa part-time, because in January, since the blog is about healthy eating, there's a lot of interest after the holidays. Right. And so our page views typically jump up quite a bit. So January of 2012, that was about 1 million page views a month. And again, that's when I started helping part-time and really put my sights on growing income. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, once we had the cash flow, then I'd be able to quit my corporate job, which was just like the total dream.
Exactly.
So, and I was able to do that in July of 2012. So from May of 2010 to July of 2012 was how long it took to get to the point where we
were. So within a span of 2 years, and really at the end of around 1 year, a year and a few months, was when you landed on Yahoo and you started seeing this incredible traffic and opportunity with people actually coming to you or coming to Lisa's blog and really looking for information. And then she really had to look at monetizing after that, I would assume.
Yeah, so she, and this is a recommendation for anyone that has a blog that wants to grow, she attended her first blogging conference and was and kind of got a clue, like, oh, wow, there's ad networks you can put on your site.
Right.
There's and we hired a web developer to to her credit, she figured out how to start the blog and build her site, you know, behind the scenes just on her own. Because she came to me, I had a new corporate job, and she's like, hey, I want to do this. And I was completely supportive, but I did not want to get on that slippery slope of, okay, I'm your tech guy.
Right, you know? Right.
So I just said, no, absolutely not. I was her editor from day one, but then it got to the point where she was having success, and it's like, okay, obviously she needs help. She came to me. She said, I need help. And I was like, absolutely, let's do it. So this is a very much a fast track, but I have seen other people that, you know, we have some friends that have had very similar, trajectories. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to August of 2012. And from there till the present, we've added to the team. We've added a part-time editor. I just added a bookkeeper, today. I have an assistant, is actually Lisa's mom helping us out.
No wonder you were like, thank you.
Well, I can trust her, obviously.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, we have a web developer, and we do a lot of stuff ourselves, but it's really important to have these people that you can call upon when you need help. And then we have Facebook moderator. We have the comment moderator. Surely I'm forgetting someone that's going to kill me. But anyway, is that what you're looking for?
Exactly, because it is. You're talking 2 years, and people think, I mean, really, if people in the audience are thinking, okay, this is spring of 2014, think about spring of 2015, and that year could be the time, if you put the energy, the focus, the expertise, and the time into building whatever it is you want to build, your dream instead of your corporate officer's dream, where could you be in spring of 2015, where could you be in that entire year? And we're talking about, Lisa was home, but the kids were home too. So we're only talking about how many hours a week would you say that she spent building this blog over that year?
Oh gosh, that'd be a better question for her because I was at work, you know, but I mean, at first it was really, she almost didn't even start a blog, but it was just, in fact, she had another one called The Food Illusion. She started, same topic, but it was really just to inform friends and family because it was getting repetitive. People were asking all these questions to keep emailing them.
Right.
But then she had the idea, and she really wanted to get the message out. And you know, the more we learned, the more we wanted to tell people, like, you don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
where your food is
going on.
Yes.
Yeah, and so she actually started 100 Days of Real Food and the Pledge as a way to draw attention to The Food Illusion, her original blog. But it got so much traction that it just made sense to turn that into the main blog.
Right.
Right. But you do make a great point. So visualize what could happen in a year and realize that starts today. Right. Like you just have to start. Like we were literally hiking in Cinque Terre in Italy last summer. And I had wanted to do an ebook on you know, how to monetize your site. And we're hiking from town to town. And Lisa's like, you need to start your own site. I'm like, well, I have so much I want to share. Like I have so much, it's going to take me 6 months to build courses. And she's like, just start the site. Like just, it's really important to get, she's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. And that was really good advice because I started to get the voice of the reader. I thought I was going to be basically making these more advanced courses, but then I realized the vast majority of people are just getting started. So I needed to shift my messaging and to those people to help the most people.
Exactly.
And so you can't, I mean, I'm an engineer. I'm extremely detail oriented. I want things to be just right. So, but that really just have to, and as an entrepreneur, it's like, hey, if it works, great. Yes. Just something's better than nothing, because you'll quickly understand some things will catch on. Other things you'll totally just be like, okay, glad we tried that. It's not working. I'm glad I didn't put a gajillion more hours into it before I realized that. So important advice.
Yes, and that is fantastic. And now here you are with Pro Blog School and the next one, because now you said something very important. The whole dream was for you to quit your corporate job. Mm-hmm. And you've done that. So what's the next dream? It just keeps building and building and building. Now you have to look at the next thing that you want to do. And it's all wrapped around, just like with Lisa starting with 100 Days of Real Food, it's all wrapped around giving something beyond yourself. And I think the reason, from what I heard you say about Pro Blog School, you had to go back to where you were when you first started in the blogging and the monetizing and all the back end stuff, and write from that voice. Because if you wrote from the voice you were at the moment that you started Pro Blog School, you would only hit those people that were at that same place. And not a lot of people are. So what's your next dream now? And tell me how Pro Blog School has now fed into this whole image.
Well, it's really, like, I love my day job working 100 Days of Real Food. I really do. But it's not, it's Lisa's site.
Right.
You know, so she makes the executive decision on how it's going to look and you know, what the whole purpose. And so if it were me, it's not my site. You know, I want to develop my own audience. I want to help. I'm well versed in real food and I'm living this life and I'm a contributor. But, you know, my passion is the whole entrepreneur or the business side of things.
Right.
So I really, my goal, I've started Pro Blog School, but I've really put very little time into it. And I'm working feverishly to free up my time so that I can work more on it. Right. And so that's the goal. You know, I mean, some people have asked us, like, well, what's your end goal? Would you want to sell the blog? And I look at them like they're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, no, I've been, you know, I'm 37 years old and I finally have a job I love. I don't want to change it at all.
Exactly.
I mean, so yeah, I do enjoy the work on 100 Days of Real Food, but she has so much traffic. I mean, we're at about 4 million page views a month. So I can, like, I've got so many things on my to-do list, but I can do some ad optimization and, you know, change our income by 5% for the month, for example.
Right.
Or I could go to Pro Blog School where I get 200 visitors a day.
Right.
But it's important for me to do that because I enjoy it. And also it's important to diversify. So even though this is a total passion of mine, it's something I want to do, it's also a sound business decision.
Definitely.
To not have all of our eggs into one basket.
Definitely. Because, you know, we can only hope that our entire society changes and we get rid of the feedlots and we get rid of the McDonald's being the number one purchaser of beef and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we can only hope that our society takes this turn with the number of people Lisa is hopefully helping to change and many others in the industry. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But when it does, if it does, yeah, you have to have another income stream, because then it will become mainstream and it won't be as novelty, so to speak. So,
So we could do a lot more. We could extract more income from 100 Days of Real Food. But Lisa also only wants to work so much.
Right.
I mean, she wants to spend time with her family, and that's more important. I mean, I... I saw a little quote on tinybuddha.com or whatever on Facebook, and it says now it's by I can't pronounce the guy's name, but yeah. It says now and then it's good to pause in our pursuit of happiness and just be happy. You know, we can't be just totally caught up in building that we don't look around and enjoy our time.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, who knows where it'll go.
Yes.
Yeah, we got to diversify.
Definitely. That's what a great piece of advice. Because see, I see you going to the next step, and now the whole world has opened up and you're free to really do whatever it is you want to do. It's whatever you grab onto. My biggest difficulty is basically choosing only one at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's really hard for me.
Yeah, well, and I do have specific direction with Pro Box School. I mean, where I want to go, I want to start doing some like answering calls from readers, letting them leave voicemails. And mm-hmm. I swear Pat Flynn is like looking in my head because I'll think of something.
I know.
And like 2 weeks later, he's rolled it out.
He's done
like,
it.
What?
Yeah. So, wait a minute, buddy. Yeah. Let me catch up here. Let me do something.
Yeah. Because he's got to ask Pat. I was going to do it with the video response. And then now he has it as a podcast, which is great. We can all do similar
yep.
ways of reaching out to people. But what really inspired me with that was I downloaded this little app called Jing, J-I-N-G. And you can record like 5-minute videos and share them, just a link for free.
Oh.
And it's so I you know, I'm very procedural. I like write down notes for our contractors. You know, here's how to do this procedure. Here's how to do this.
Yeah.
But it takes so much time to take screenshots and type it all out. So I just found, well, I can record my screen and literally in the 5 minutes it takes for me to explain something, it's recorded and
it's
they can
done.
Watch it over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, it takes so long to write quality blog posts.
Yes.
I mean, especially if they're instructional in nature.
Right.
And so I'm really attracted to start experimenting with video. I know the editing takes a long time, but just to be able to get it out there quickly.
Yeah.
And then also people get a feel for your personality when they can see you and hear you as well.
That's great. Thanks for sharing what you're thinking of doing next. We've talked a little bit about a few tools that you use, different apps and things that you've found. What we talk about here on Parent Entrepreneur Power is power tools. These are tools that we parents who have the power to choose use on a daily basis to make our lives easier and to help us toward our success in both business and parenting. What tools do you use? What are your most important power tools?
I literally have about 400 passwords.
Uh-oh.
You know, so we use bits here and there because our whole business is online. So it would just be like this huge laundry list of things we use. But I did try to think of some that would be more applicable just to the broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say Xero.com, Xero.com for accounting has been such a breeze.
Wow.
I've used QuickBooks before. I've used Excel before, and so it's great. It's like $30 a month, but it pulls in your like your PayPal business account, your checking account, your business credit card. You can do reconciliation on whenever you want. Super easy.
Wow.
So yeah, we've got our sales manager. Oh, I forgot to mention Kieran, our sales manager.
There you go.
She's a huge part of the team for sure. But she has access to invoices through there, and so she can go collect money, see what's been paid, what hasn't, etc. So Xero.com. And I mentioned Jing earlier. That's just a little. I think it's from TechSmith. That's just a little free app for recording your screen, and you could even like explain. Tell your mom how to use Twitter on it. You know,
uh-huh.
It doesn't have to. And so it's good for communication between team members. For project management, two apps I recommend are Trello, T-R-E-L-L-O, and Asana, A-S-A-N-A. And both of those are free online tools to where you can, like Trello, it has a nice kind of tile interface.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like Pinterest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just have these cards on a board, which are your projects, and then behind those you can basically have email correspondence and notes, attachments, all that.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to interact if you have a virtual team, like our web developers in Santa Monica, for example,
mm-hmm.
and we're in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, right. So either one of those, they're both free. Our team uses standard Google app suite. So Mail, shared team calendar. We use Drive, the Google Drive, to store things.
Great.
Something I discovered recently to help tame the inbox a little bit is unroll.me. And I actually learned about that through through Pat Flynn and started using it. It's great. So what that does is it scans your inbox and finds all the subscriptions that you've subscribed to in the past and lets you decide, hey, I want to keep these and roll them up into a single daily email.
Got
or
it.
Or I want to delete those. I didn't even know I was subscribed to that, whatever.
Right.
And that really helps because every time your attention gets shifted into another direction, it takes a good 5, 10, 15 minutes to get back into whatever it was you were working on.
Right.
And so that really helps not getting all these constant emails.
Yeah. And that, I think I definitely am going to look into that one because that's, I think, my toughest part as well. And especially with our choices of working when the kids aren't here, those minimum days are a killer.
Yeah.
They're out at noon. I'm like, what happened to my day?
And we've had all these snow days recently.
That's right. Oh,
and
my.
So, I mean, we took advantage. That's another great thing about working for yourself is I went outside and built an igloo with my kids.
Yes.
And granted, I got behind and I had to pay for it and work up some another time, but I was able to have that flexibility.
Yes. Yes. And that's the reason we're doing this, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not the only reason, but it is. I have to be a little selfish. Some of it's just so I can be happy.
Yes. Well, and when you're happier, you're a better father. Obviously, because look at what you can do building an igloo after you've commuted and been at your job that you really didn't like very much isn't very appealing.
Mm-hmm,
but
absolutely.
Now it's a great break for all of you. That's fantastic. So, okay, we're winding this down. I don't want to take too much more of your time. I know how busy you are, and I really, really appreciate you taking some of the limited time you have and spending it with us today. What piece of advice, if you could give one piece of advice to someone sitting at home right now thinking, I really want to do this, and all right, you've told me that it took a year and then 2 years, and now you're at this place where you feel really free to create the life you want, what piece of advice would you give that person who's contemplating this whole journey?
Well, it's to realize it takes a lot of hard work, but you have to get started. There's no substitute for firsthand experience and failing and then realizing what the right path is and the opportunities will open up. I mean, it's really like this upward spiral, and it represents freedom. And so if anybody wants to check our backstory, they can go to problogschool.com and it talks about how we make money online. I'm only posting once every 2 weeks right now, but that will become more frequent in the future. You can subscribe to email updates and kind of hone in on follow our journey if you'd like. But really, it's just to get started.
Definitely. All right, Jason, thank you so much for spending time with me. Is there any other little tidbit you'd like to give us? I'll give all of your details of where people can find you and your social media links and all of that on the show notes, but in any parting words that you'd like to leave us with?
Oh man, you're putting me on the spot, huh? it's just kind of the advice earlier is that it really is amazing what you can do when you're in control. So just know you kind of have to lean into fear a little bit and get outside of your comfort zone, but that's really when you grow. So don't be afraid to get started. It doesn't have to be perfect. Just have the idea of, hey, I'm going to try it out and see what happens.
Fantastic. Great piece of advice, Jason. Thanks again for spending time with us. I'm honored to have you here, and I can't wait to see what you do next. I'll be definitely following, and in the future, we'd love to maybe have you back and see how things progress.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for listening to that conversation. And as Jason mentioned, really pushing past that fear, taking that first step and just doing what you want to do. Don't wait for it to be perfect. Don't wait for the perfect audience and someone to give you permission or anything like that. Just take that step. And today you will start on a journey that a year from now, you will be thankful you did. So don't forget to visit the site, parententrepreneursuccess.com/PEP009, to make a comment or to chat and connect with Jason or myself. And then also, if you would please go to iTunes and subscribe to Parent Entrepreneur Power. And if you feel so inclined, leave us a review. Thanks a lot for visiting again. I am having so much fun bringing some incredible stories to you, and I can't wait to bring you more. For now, enjoy the journey.
Thanks for listening. Visit ParentEntrepreneurSuccess.com.